Luke chapter 2, verse 16. It's talking about after the angel told the shepherds what was happening, and they heard the angelic host. and verse 16, and they, the shepherds, came with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. We started to talk about found. It means to find by searching diligently. They didn't just go walk up to them. They had to search out and find out where they were in Bethlehem. So it took some time. They found, they found the babe. Babe is a brephos, which means either an embryo or a fetus or a brand newborn. The manger is stall. And then in 17, when they had seen it, isn't in the text, they made known abroad saying which was told them concerning the child. Now this word seen is the one that we've talked about so often. It means not just seen mentally, but you've seen and know with your senses. It's eido. And it means if you've seen Jesus, you don't just have a philosophical aspect about him, just as the shepherds. You've actually seen him. Amen? And they made known abroad the saying. I didn't mean they got on television, but they made known abroad, and the idea is they made known to whom they worked for. They worked for the temple. They were of a particular course of the priesthood or the Levites, I'm not sure which, whose job it was to guide the sacrificial flock or watch to make sure none of them got out of the distance from Jerusalem. And so they worked, and this had to be then reported. Remember, the Talmud says that these shepherds would be the first ones to announce the coming of Messiah. That was really their underlying job. And so they found him. But I promise you, not one of the people they reported to believed them. Because Messiah could not be born in this way. He could not be born in a manger with a sacrificial. He was coming to rid them of the Roman Empire, to fulfill the kingdom of God on earth. And that's the source of all heresy from the beginning of time, that it's on earth instead of in earth. It's still going on today. I got about 16 emails this morning about that subject, and everybody wants the kingdom of God on earth.
What are they emailing you about that?
Well, it's just people that think I'd be interested in it.
I mean this morning. It sounds like
It was just the normal crap that I get in my email box. They made known abroad the saying, and the saying is interesting. And it's the saying is parima, which was the word made flesh. They saw the word made flesh, and that saying that was just told to them by the angel, they testified that they saw the word made flesh. And all they that heard And all they that heard wondered. wondered is as a word thumazo, and it doesn't mean necessarily to wonder in admiration. It can mean anything that puts you in a state of awe. And let's look and see. Remember in the Septuagint, Jesus wondered that there was no intercessor. And so his own, or God wondered. Therefore his own right arm, his own seed got him the victory. And that's the same word in the Greek when it was translated into the Septuagint. What? Understand?
I'm not sure where you're coming from. God wondered that there was no intercessor.
That word was used here. In the Greek version of Septuagint.
Which word? I missed the word.
Wondered. And here, let's look at verse 33 in this case. This is when Simon, remember, let's just start in 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now remember that the seven of consolation are the words that are read on the Sabbath between the fast of Ab and the Rosh Hashanah, Jewish New Year. And there's these seven, it's 7 weeks between the fast of Ab and the Jewish New Year, the birth of Christ. And so each of those Sabbaths, remember, you read one of the seven of consolation, seven verses of consolation. And so they had read, he had gone through, just as everybody did, from the fast of Ab till now, reading the seven of consolation. And that's why the scripture is in here. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, when the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Lord's Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now this... That was so out of order, it was unbelievable. He wasn't a priest of that order. He was a priest in the temple, but he wasn't of that order. And so he came and interrupted the circumcision and took the babe in his arms. I mean, that would have caused all kinds of weirdness in the temple, okay? He took the babe in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And hear this word. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. So again, they were probably not sure what was going on.
Yeah, their minds had to be blown from the beginning.
Yeah. Okay, guess let's go to Luke 8. See it again.
When this priest took the child, I guess the Holy Spirit must have revealed it, that this is...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how it's all taking place.
Yeah, he was led by the Spirit to go into the temple, into the area where they did... This is a big temple. And so they had to... The Spirit led him to the place where the circumcision was happening. And so then that whole process occurred. The Spirit revealed that that baby was the Messiah, the Lord's Christ. Nothing that he expected. All right. Luke 8. Again, this is, let's read it. Start in verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over on the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the water, on the lake, and they were filled with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. So again, the idea here is they wondered. Okay, let's go to 9, chapter 9. And this is very applicable today. Verse 37. And it came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, this was right after the transfiguration. Much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee that thou look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And it besought the disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thou son here. And when he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of these. If you're listening, there's Luke 11:14, 2 Thessalonians 1:10. There's all those in Isaiah about he wondered that there was no intercessor, so his own seed got him the victory and all that. So, but anyway, that's enough on wonder. Everybody understand the awe thing? Okay, back to Luke chapter 2. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Kept is centario, which means to preserve or to keep within oneself. Pondered is what not necessarily a good thing. Pondered is sumbalo, which means meeting in order to discuss something. Like we have a meeting every Monday morning to discuss something. But it also means to confer with oneself. Which seems to be what a certain of you are champions at, and it never comes to anything. Well, you got that table is a gold medal.
I'm proud of it. I've got the gold medal. The ponderous one.
Let's look at Acts 17. Just to see one verse how this is used. Thank you. This is when Paul is at Athens. This scripture just came alive to me because I walked all this exact place here. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry.
Is this verse?
We're starting in verse 16 of Acts 17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. And certain philosophers of the Epicureans, of the Stoics, encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Now, encountered him is this word sumbalo, which was they met with him in order to discuss. That's the whole idea. I can't think of any place in the New Testament where one of the disciples went where he wasn't invited. There's no example of any of them standing on a street corner. On all of the missionary journeys of Paul, he was invited, and of all of the disciples. Remember, they all became believers during Pentecost, and then they went back and tried to discuss all this stuff with their own synagogues in their own cities, and they said, "Wait a minute, we need some help here." So they called for Paul or Peter or James or whoever to come. But the point of it is, they never went someplace where they weren't invited. Here Paul was invited to discuss these things. Now, I mean, that's not an issue for, I think, people here, but just think of all the places where I call them evangelical nuisances,
yeah,
that, you know, they just put up billboards and you know, humongous crosses, and, you know, there's something unsavory about going where you're not invited, and it's this whole thing about what evangelism was in the first century. And I just wanted to emphasize that this morning. Anyway, Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Heart is cardia, means just your inner self, your you-ness. It's what Gary does when he's musing about something, and it's what Jeff does 24 hours a day, conferring with oneself.
What do you say about Selah? Consider these things.
That's not what it means.
Well, you throw a ponder out here. And
Selah was an instruction to the choir, to the musicians in the temple, to have a pause.
Pause for what?
Well, that's why.
To consider.
That's why the word consider became, or think on, or whatever it says. I don't remember what it says in Psalms, our Psalms, but.
I mean, you got to make a distinction here, because otherwise it's, you're saying don't even give it thought.
All I know is that the only, in my own experience, from the day that, before I was a believer, I had to come to the end of myself. You're hardwired to consider these things. But what will happen when you consider them? Has anything ever happened by the idea of apologetics, which is causing people to consider these things and debate them? I don't think that ever did anybody any good.
I think it leads you to the end, and every reading, kind of, to me, it confirms things that you have seen. And if you truly consider, you'll come to the end at every point. It leads to Christ. And that's the aha. There it is. There it is. I mean, it certainly doesn't mean don't.
Well, I mean, again, I'm talking to people who I believe have come to the end of themselves. And if you've come to the end of yourself and you found that there's no thing that you have gained, anything of value, even spiritual matters, by your own mind, then it's, you know, if you're still back in the world, yeah, consider these things.
Because I know you consider things. You don't sit in your office all day and not consider and study and see.
Yeah, I mean, you think I'm kidding when I've spent all those years looking for loopholes, trying to prove that what I saw was wrong.
But in fact, you proved it was right. And I think that's considering.
Well, yeah, this is a minor point from my standpoint.
All right, well.
Yeah, if that's helpful to you to come to the end of yourself,
well,
that's fine. But
yeah,
we talked about it with considering with integrity before, and that seems to tie things.
Well, integrity says that you have considered, and the repentance was total, and that the only answer to all everything is emptiness. You must empty yourself at every juncture, and so, you know, I mean, this isn't a point at which doctrine is debated. This is a point that has to be seen in terms of internally. But again, I pray that I'm talking to those who have considered and seen the emptiness of using their own mind.
I don't know. I've struggled with consideration as a distinction between my emotional self versus the intellectual. And the intellectual is about going through life and trying to make decisions that will impact me positively and others, whereas the emotional side is where I'm trying to focus more on abandoning myself, because the emotions are so mobilizing and they
But then you think there's something valuable in the
finish. And there's so much killing I do with my emotions, with myself, with others, and reliving and pondering the future. And so I've focused more on trying to die to myself emotionally versus dying to my brain. Am I missing it totally?
There are two kinds of idolatry. One idolatry is made up, one type is made up of graven images.
Right.
And that's the intellectual issues that you've considered in your mind. You have these opinions. You have this. The other are the molten images. And those are the images of brass, of iron, of silver, and of gold. And those are the ones that have been forged in the fires of emotion. And therefore, they respond to the same stimuli in judgment, in brass, or in iron, making sure you're right, or in silver, trying to have your own redemption, or in gold, your own glory. And they're all bullshit. Whether they're graven images or molten images, they're both to be destroyed. Once the temple is dedicated, then you can never again use those things. Once you've said, "Father, I'm yours without condition," then those things become illegal. Now, if the temple hadn't been dedicated and you still haven't found out come to the end of yourself in all these areas, then that's where you will play. What?
Well, I know there's a lot of implications in what you're saying. That if you ever ponder or consider that you haven't come to the end of yourself.
Well, I'm saying is the same as Paul said. Not that I've apprehended, but I am apprehended of or by. The only thing that has ever happened with regard to me is when I emptied, then there was revelation. When I sought, there was no revelation. Emptiness is always the answer.
Yeah.
The end of yourself, of your own emotions and your own mind, is this thing of Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Well, she had a visitation of angels. She had the confirmation of the babe of John the Baptist jumping, leaping in Elizabeth's womb when she spoke. She had the confirmation of seeing, raising. Yes, she forgot. But that doesn't excuse us. Both Mary and her mother thought he was crazy. I mean, Mary and her brothers and sister, his brothers and sisters, thought he was crazy.
Though they had seen so many things.
Yeah. Because it's always the mind does not comprehend and can't accept the reality of the resurrection and the form of the resurrection because of the images and emotional impact we have that clouds it. And therefore, the desire of your heart becomes polluted by your wants. That's why the scriptures say, I mean, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, period. But the only way to get there is to come to the end of yourself in all things.
Well, that to me, what you just said, is what this considering is coming to the end when you discover you're not there. You ponder, maybe, or consider, or selah, or say, what the hey?
And that's what you do well. I'm glad you do it, because it's for other people's benefit. All the discussions we've had about time over the last 35 years, you know, but they're for other people's benefit.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that we're going to debate the issue.
And also, coming to the end of yourself, maybe for some it's an instantaneous experience. Others, it's a process. And through the process, they ponder and they consider and still commit all this idolatry until they finally get to that eureka moment.
Remember the three graces that God has given to all men to see God. They're represented in the phrase, the faith of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. The faith of Abraham is... this is the one that requires integrity, because it says, just follow your nose and you just say, I don't want to do that anymore, and you don't do it anymore. But most people, they keep going back to the refrigerator and think they're going to get different results this time. So there is no integrity. There isn't oneness. Because apart, their idolatry is stronger than their recognition of the emptiness or vanity of it. And the grace of Jacob, which is a struggle. Everything's a fight.
Something.
And then there's the grace of Isaac, which is instant revelation, but it costs you everything at that moment. And all three of us, I mean, everyone has all three of those graces, but one is dominant. Well, it's the illusion of free will.
Right.
There's only two wills in the universe, either the will of God or the will of Satan. The will of Satan is self for self. The will of God is only expressed in Christ. He's the only one that has self for others. That's why I find in a law, when I want to do something good, the evil one is present with me. If you ever think you're doing something good, then you can bet you've resurrected the evil one from his deadly head wound. Amen?
Amen. I was thinking the thing we read about Simeon sort of explains this whole thing, because he spent his whole life waiting for the consolation, and it was good. It was great. You know, that's the only thing you should be focusing on. But he still couldn't find the Messiah unless the Spirit had led him, which he didn't like figure it out that he's going to be in this particular part of the, you know,
of course not.
Thing. And so, you know,
all
it's like if you think that you're, all that stuff is going to do anything, then you're off track completely. Because, you know, it's always the Spirit who's leading you to the end.
Right, but you got to hear the mystery of God since the day of his resurrection has been only one thing. It requires total and complete emptying. His life is in all men. It's the holy divine impulse, the seed, the sperm of God. But his humility is so great, he will not occupy where you are. So wherever you're considering, wherever you're musing, wherever you're learning, then he takes the lowest seat. He goes so you can follow that rabbit. To me, following that rabbit, for those that have said, I present myself to you a living sacrifice, following that rabbit, the word for that isn't, it's not a nice word, it's rebellion, it's witchcraft. That's all.
I see, when you say the word learning, it implies that the flesh thinks it has some information it needs to attain the goal. But learning is, seeing is what should be happening, not trying to learn. You just look, you see Christ, and that's the end of the commandment.
Right, everything.
So it's like the predicate is off.
Because all things are under his feet. The only enemy on the face of the earth is the human mind. Whenever this mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. It can't be. It is cursed above all cattle, above all everything. So how can you use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed? You can't. You will always create a Messiah after your own understanding. And he will be wrong. It will be another gospel. The emptiness is the mystery. Everything is subject to that. In a rebellion, my God, the times I've rebelled are legion. But by his grace, I was able to repent and abandon myself and see that I'm at the end of myself. He's always standing at the door. And he is the door. No man can open it. No man can shut it.
Well, you're saying, I was thinking on the pondering question. What do you use to ponder?
Right. You use that which is cursed.
Yeah.
Again, what?
But the pondering thing says you are doing high holy service as you ponder things.
Sitting in the temple of God, showing that he is God.
Everybody understand? It's so simple. Let, as a serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. Serpent, mine. Amen.
Amen.
Take a big time.